greatest ransom to be, and quickened from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? My Father's house of light, my glory circled throne, I left for earthly night, for wandering sad and lone. I left it all for thee. Hast thou left aught for me? I spent long years for thee in weariness and woe, that an eternity of joy thou mightest know. I spent long years for thee. Hast thou spent one for me? Oh, let thy life begin, thy years for him be spent. World fetters all be riven, and joy with suffering blend. I gave myself for thee. Give thou thyself to me.
As I was able to sit in the audience and enjoy the specials that we heard, the thought came to my mind, and came very strongly. As a fellowship, it was Sons and Daughters of Zion. Those were the words that came to my heart and my mind. To be a participant of that cause and to be worker for that cause in these last days. It thrills my heart to see the advents that are taking place today. For the scripture says that we should look up and know that our Lord is soon to come. Our brother is prepared. I'm kind of stumbling over some of the things he's got prepared for us tonight. I know his sincerity and his heart is serving the Lord as well as you. So I hope and pray that you've come to hear the word of God and you give your attention to him as he speaks. I would give to you now your apostle, Mike McGee.
It's okay if my brother Gordon stumbles, but if I stumble, we all have problems. So hopefully I won't stumble over what I have brought with me tonight. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to James, the fifth chapter, and I'd like to look at verse 14. James, the fifth chapter. And before I proceed, I would like to thank very much those that participated in the preceding hour or so that offered up their talents and their skills to our Heavenly Father. And it takes a big load off myself, because as I sought the Lord and as I determined what to bring to you this night, the Lord in His gentle ways, as He so often does, nudged me in a certain direction, and I felt to pull back, and this is Easter Sunday. I need to bring an Easter message. An Easter message. But what I bring this day follows your Easter message. Those that offered up their talents, their skills in song and in reading, certainly that was the story of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as He came, as He lived, as He breathed, as He laid down His life for you and I. But more than that, He arose. He arose in strength and in power. And when He comes back that second time, that's the way that we will receive Him, in that strength and power. So I want to thank each that participated in that. My brother Jay leaned over and told me, he says, "I'm glad I don't have to follow all that." And it is tough to follow all that. It was truly beautiful. James, the fifth chapter. Or excuse me, the fourth chapter, I suppose. I almost stumbled. The fourth chapter, that 14th verse. "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Think about what that is telling you and I this day about our lives. This candle up here that I lit, and I'm sure a lot of you looked at and wondered, what in the world is he going to do with that candle? Well, I told my brother Jay to relay to our brother Placido Coyoyam that we went out to eat together. And in a restaurant, they had an emergency light supply like you have back there in case the lights go out. And our brother looked at that and he asked Jay, "How much does that cost?" Because the lights go out in Yucatan quite often. If we had an emergency light system, we could continue on with the service, no interruption. And I told Jay, "This is my emergency light system." But that's not what it is. That's not what it is. Now, if I reach over, and I will, and I'm going to, I don't think I'll pinch the candle out. There's hot wax there. I think I'll blow it out. What's it going to leave? Smoke. Those of you on the front pews can probably see that. And indeed, there is smoke. And just as this scripture here indicates, your life is not even as that candle that burns. It is as that smoke. And that smoke is dissipated. It is no more. It is a brief instant that we're here to prepare for what shall follow. When my brother Steve and I were smaller, my dad and my mom used to take us out for Sunday drives quite often. Ice cream also. But Sunday drives. And we always looked forward to those. And as we would take a ride out in the country, we would oftentimes pass by a homestead or an old house that was dilapidated, that was falling down. And I used to look at those and I would wonder within myself, who used to live there? What kind of life they had? What kind of hopes? What kind of dreams did they have? Did they have children? Who were they? And what happened to them? And I looked at that, and it is even as that smoke that dissipates. We seek to carve out our niche in this life for a lot of different reasons. Those of you that have been blessed with children, and you look at your children, and you see a hope for a continuance there, and those, as they continue to grow, they have their children, and we have our grandchildren. And that causes a great joy within us, because it is not just one generation, it's another generation that is passed on, that continues on. And that's the physical side of life. But I want you to look at your spiritual side of life as that candle that was extinguished. We're here for but a little time. A little time. And then it leaves a vapor. We used a couple of words during our solemn assemblies that I want to use. I hope I remember to use them quite often as I continue to speak. And they're legal sounding words. But we used them over and over. We used whereas and resolved. And I want to look at different aspects that I bring to you this night. I want you to look at your life, your spiritual development, and I want you to look at whereas and what are you resolved. Whereas we were placed here and have been placed here by our Heavenly Father, created in His image for who knows how many years. Who knows how many years? It's up to Him. Whereas you have been created in His image, what are you resolved to do with your life here spiritually? And physically, and temporally, but primarily spiritually. We're here for a short length of time. As the Lord gently nudged me what I might bring to you this day, I was impressed with some of the programs that were handed out at the East Local. I won't tell you not so much what is on the inside or who preached or who sang. That impressed me also. But on the outside, they had pictures. And I began to collect those. And the first one that came out was a picture of a cypress tree. How many of you ever seen a sequoia or a cypress tree or a redwood? They're all of the same family. They're awe-inspiring. They're huge. To truly appreciate their grandeur, the larger ones, you would have to lay down at the base and just stare upward. And you can't really see the top of it. Most of the time, the shade that tree puts out is such that it is cool and moist, even at its base. There's protection underneath that sequoia. And some of those trees were seedlings. When our Jesus Christ, lived and walked and breathed and died. Yet seedlings when He was alive. And yet they continue today. They continue down to today. How many know what this is? Those of you up here at the temple lot and those that have been to the old church building know what that is. When I used to climb those steps, there were, four or six of them on each side on the handrail. And as you went up, in order to go to the next level, you had to put your hand on that or bypass it. And I used to often wonder how many brothers and sisters in Christ had touched that. How many hopes and dreams they had as they climbed and ascended those stairs. To come up here where you are now, different church building, but the same Spirit. And I wondered about that. My brothers and sisters touched that as they came up along the way. But the cypress trees, the redwood, the sequoia, they were yet alive when Christ was alive. 2,000 years, give or take. They're still alive, and so is the gospel of Christ. So is the hope alive, the disciples that walked with Him. Those that humbled themselves before Him and listened to His teachings. Their spirit is yet alive even today. His church is even alive yet today. We're members of it. Christ has not died. Neither has His gospel. Neither has His church. It continues down to today, spanning centuries. And will continue till Christ comes once again. But I wondered about the hopes, the aspirations, the trust, the faith of those that have gone before, what they experienced as they touched that on the way up. You know, we lost that church building, but we rebuilt it, didn't we? We have not lost that hope and that trust, that faith. And you, as brothers and sisters in Christ, still work today towards the ends that Christ established, towards the hope that Christ has in each and every one of us. Another thing that I thought to bring this day was a stone. And this stone here has been subjected to a great deal of heat. It has had gas pockets in it as it was molten and shaped. And as it came into being, And I thought about that firm foundation. And that was another one of the handouts that were given out at the East Local. And in the picture that it has not just a stone, but it has a huge mountain crested in snow. And as you come down into the foreground, closer to where the artist was, we have the trees beginning to take over. We have a huge forest that has come up, and that breaks forth into a lake. Beautiful flowers all around it. But it is that firm foundation that Christ established that allows all this growth to take place. A foundation that was established thousands of years ago. One of the Sunday school class, in the adult class that I teach, asked a question. He asked, why so long, 2,000 years, for the plan of redemption to unfold? Till Christ lived and breathed and died. Why that period of time from Adam down to Christ? Why all that time until redemption unfolded? But we know in the Book of Mormon, as we turn to it, and I'll invite you to turn to 1 Nephi 3. This is on page 26. 1 Nephi 3. Starting with verse 27 and reading through verse 32. Speaking of our God, for He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changed one bit. Whatever period of time, whatever segment of time you want to place on the time stick, God has not changed, nor has He wavered, nor has His desire for His children changed. And the way is prepared for all men from the foundation of the world, beyond that stone, beyond that rock. For the way is prepared for all men from the foundation of the world, if it so be that they repent and come unto Him. For he that diligently seeketh shall find, and the mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto him by the power of the Holy Ghost, as well in this time as in times of old, and as well in times of old as in times to come. Wherefore the course of the Lord is one eternal round. One eternal round, and that is what the Lord holds out to each of us. Laid from the foundation of the world, Christ was there. Christ created. Laid from the foundation of the world, He created man in His own image. Turn to 2 Nephi 6. This is on page 108. 2 Nephi 6. Reading just one verse there. Verse 42. But behold, the righteous, the saints of the Holy One of Israel, they which have believed in the Holy One of Israel, they which have endured the crosses of the world, and despised the shame of it, they shall inherit the kingdom of God, which was prepared for them from the foundation of the world, and their joy shall be full forever. Underlining again that from the foundation of the world, this was laid, this was planned, this was brought about with the ultimate aim that your joy and my joy might be forever in Christ. Turn to Jacob, the third chapter, page 177. Jacob, the third chapter, starting with verse 26 through verse 28. And now I, Jacob, am led on by the Spirit unto prophesying, for I perceive by the workings of the Spirit which is in me that by the stumbling of the Jews they will reject the stone upon which they might build. And in the songs that were offered up that we each shared, it spoke about the Jews that crucified Christ. His chosen people. His chosen people that he would work with down to that time, but yet continues to work with them. They would reject him. For I perceive by the workings of the Spirit which is in me that by the stumbling of the Jews they will reject the stone upon which they might build and have safe foundation. They have not had a safe foundation since that time, since they rejected Christ, since they allowed him, no encouraged, and participated in that act. They have had no safe foundation. But behold, according to the Scriptures, this stone shall become the great and the last and the only sure foundation upon which the Jews can build. In the preceding verses, we talked about the saints of God. And I believe that's you and I. That we build upon that sure foundation. We look forward to a time when the Jews build upon it. We look, and we've witnessed this day, two of our brothers from down south, part of the dispersed that have come to know Christ, that have answered that call out of the world to follow after him, that have placed their lives and their hearts at his service. They have looked at the whereas, the sure foundation of Christ, and my brothers Placido have known Christ, and they have resolved to serve him fully and completely. Each of you that call yourselves saints of God, myself included, whereas Christ died for us also, whereas Christ laid down his life and his service, are we resolved to follow fully, completely, with the same love in our hearts that he had for us, that he had for those that put him to death? Do we have that same resolve within our hearts? Verse 27. But behold, according to the Scriptures, this stone shall become the great and the last and the only sure foundation upon which the Jews can build. Now, my beloved, how is it possible that these, after having rejected the sure foundation, can ever build upon it, that it may become the head of their corner? How is it possible that they can allow that stone to become their sure foundation? To answer the same call that you and I have answered and our brothers have. The greatest call I have ever answered was to come out of the world to Christ. The greatest call. As I look back at my life, there have been many times that I have put off that choice when I could have made it sooner. And since making that choice, there have been many times in my life that I have procrastinated. I have been slothful. I've held back. And as you look at your lives, you must judge. You must be your own witnesses. You must ask yourself, whereas all these blessings and healings and wholeness, whereas all this life is made available to me, whereas all this joy is held out by Christ for me, what am I resolved to? What am I committed to? Who have I made that covenant with? Another handout out at the East Local shows water mill. My wife has one on her kitchen counter. And Jay looked at that, and Placido looked at that, and Jay says, I can't explain that. He won't understand what that does. But in this handout, it shows a scene sometime between late winter, very early spring, when the snow's starting to melt, the water's starting to come together, to collect, starting to flow through channels, and up at the head of this, there's a mill. There's a mill. And I have yet another item I'd like to put out there. That water. There is power. I might get long-winded and have to sample some of that too. But there is power in that water as it is channeled and brought together. And man has harnessed that. This great nation that we live in, the waterways were the ways that this country was opened up. Opened up to settlers, opened up to civilization. It was opened up that commodities might be brought out, might have the comforts of home with them. The waterways. The waterways were channeled to take grain, to make flour, to make meal, so that we might live better and enjoy the fruit of our labor. These same mills were used sometimes as sawmills, to take raw wood and to measure them, to cut them out, that we might frame our homes with dimensional lumber, not just a log cabin, although that looks inviting. Not practical. And water has been used to further work for mankind. And as I thought about that snow and ice, how that this comes seasonal to earth, and it melts seasonal, and it's measured out according to the blessings of God. Measured out. And I thought about the power of God. And His power works the same way. Down throughout time, it has come seasonal. It has been metered out, melted out, according to the power of God, according to His pleasure, and men have been blessed for it. Women have been blessed for it. Our families have been blessed for it. The power of God. During this past year, we have felt the power of God. We have known it firsthand. God has measured it to us. And yet we pray for more. But as man learned how to take the power of physical water, to channel it, to direct it, we can only pray for the power of God. And then quickly pray for discernment, for wisdom, for knowledge. Are we prepared for the true power of God? In all its splendor, all its majesty, are we ready? Whereas we know all these things are upon us, what are we resolved to do? Whereas we desire the fruits and the gifts, are we resolved to build on that firm foundation that is Christ, to receive more? Not that we be lifted up, but that God be lifted up. Not that we be made grander than what we are, because we know who we are. If we come to God in humility and in meekness, we know who He is. It's that God be magnified within each of us in His service. In our outline histories, and I will not turn to it, but it talks about a prayer that was offered up by one of our brothers of old, Orson Hyde, back in, I think, 1841. And he went to the land of Palestine, and he offered up a prayer. Very simple prayer. He offered that a parched and a desolate land might be made fruitful, that the rains might return that had been held at bay for centuries. A land that was parched, a land that was dry, a physical rain withheld. And a decade later, those rains returned. Now, in our outline history, they don't take direct credit for it, but they simply marvel at what a coincidence it is that an elder in the Church of Christ went to a land that was foreign to him, offered up a simple prayer for a humbled land, and the rain returned. And then, in a little over a century, a nation was born in that same land. A nation was born. We look at our founding of this Church of Christ by a brother we look to, Joseph Smith, and how that he was used as a simple servant of God too. He had a simple need, and he offered a simple prayer. God blessed him richly. God used him richly. And this day, as we find ourselves marveling at how the work is opening up, as we see that measure of work before us, how will we ever accomplish except in His strength, except in His power, except in His power? God measures out according to His plan, but there is a time yet to come when the power of God will be unfolded. That melding will take place. Turn in your Book of Mormons to Ether, the sixth chapter. This is on page 750, I think. Ether, the sixth chapter, and verses 4 through 8. And there are many others that I could have turned to in either the Book of Mormon or the Bible. Ether, the sixth chapter, verse 4. Behold, Ether saw the days of Christ, and he spake concerning a new Jerusalem upon this land. And he spake also concerning the house of Israel, and the Jerusalem from whence Lehi should come. After that it should be destroyed, it should be built up again a holy city unto the Lord. Wherefore it could not be a new Jerusalem, for it had been in a time of old, but it should be built up again and become a holy city of the Lord. And it should be built up unto the house of Israel, and that a new Jerusalem should be built up upon this land, unto the remnant of the seed of Joseph, for which things there has been a type. For as Joseph brought his father down into the land of Egypt, even so he died there. Wherefore the Lord brought a remnant of the seed of Joseph out of the land of Jerusalem, that he might be merciful unto the seed of Joseph, that they should perish not, even as he was merciful unto the father of Joseph, that he should perish not. Wherefore the remnant of the house of Joseph shall be built upon this land, and it shall be a land of their inheritance. And they shall build up a holy city unto the Lord, like unto the Jerusalem of old. And they shall no more be confounded until the end come, when the earth shall pass away. And there are other scriptures that we could turn to that point out that God has a plan. God has revealed His plan through the prophecies that we have in the Scriptures. And God continues to reveal His plan through His prophets, and will continue to do so. Whereas all these things are upon us, and we listed a great many of the things that are certainly upon us in this world this day. The hardships, the afflictions, the tribulation, the sorrows, wherever you want to put yourself in that timeline. Whereas we know these things are upon us, what are you resolved to? What are you resolved to? Turn in your Book of Mormons to Alma, the 20th chapter. The first verse. And now it came to pass that the sons of Alma did go forth among the people to declare the word unto them, and Alma also himself could not rest, and he also went forth. The last Sunday I taught the adult class out at the East Local, we ended about there, and I asked them, why could Alma not rest? He was getting to be an old man. He had sons that had been called into the work, sons that were servants. There were other people that could do the work. He could have taken his by and by. He could have rested. Another handout out at the East Local shows a white church, not unlike ours, against a blue sky. Beautiful. In the foreground, it has grass. It's got a few dandelions in it, too. But it is a beautiful scene. And as you come closer to where the beholder was, there's an old-style rake for raking hay, drawn by a horse. And it's laying off to the side, and it's kind of rusty-looking. There for more decoration than anything else. And the rest is on the inside, within that white building. The work's on the outside, left there where it should be. I thought about that rest. And my brother Placido over here, he kind of cheated. He peeked around the corner and he saw this, and I am not going to unfold it because I don't think I could get it back together once again. But in his land, yeah, he knows what you do with it. He's going like this. You sleep with this. This makes a hammock. And how many said sleep, Jay? I don't know how big a one you gave me. Three people, two people, depending on their size. Could be a family. They can find rest in that. Place to rest from all their work, all their service. But that's physically. But I wonder how much of our time is clouded by physical preparation for rest. A physical, that's a contradiction in terms, isn't it? A physical preparation to rest. How much of our time is tied up in preparing to rest when we could be in service to the Lord? I look at my life and I could clean up quite a bit of time there. Quite a bit of time. The Lord is the one that cares for us. And as we care for Him, He'll certainly take care of us. I'm not saying that we should not get proper rest. I'm not saying that we shouldn't prepare for retirement. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do things with your family on weekends. But where's God? Whereas God has done all this for us, what are you resolved to give back to Him? What are you resolved to give back to Him? Turn to Helaman, the second chapter. Helaman, the second chapter. And I'm not sure what verse, but I'll let you know as soon as I know. Or what page, rather. Page 551. Page 551. Helaman, the second chapter, verse 26. Yea, we see that whosoever will lay hold upon the word of God, which is quick and powerful, which shall divide asunder all the cunning and the snares and the wiles of the devil, and lead the man of Christ or the woman of Christ in a straight and narrow course across that everlasting gulf of misery, which is prepared to engulf the wicked and land their souls, yea, their immortal souls, at the right hand of God in the kingdom of heaven, to sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and with all our holy fathers, to go no more out. That's rest, to go no more out. That's when the work is laid up for the last time, spiritually. And you can take those names, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and certainly they are to be held up as examples of men that followed Christ. But we have names there that we could put in place. People that have gone on to their reward to go no more out, did the same work, had the same hopes and aspirations and trust in the same Christ that we hope and trust in this day. Anybody know what this is? It's not a cigar. Not a cigar. I picked that up the Pacific Ocean, Carmel. And it's not a log. That's a piece of dimensional lumber. At one time it was. Could have been a 2x4, could have been a 4x6. I have no idea how big it was. But upon that beach, with the abrasion that it physically felt, it was reduced and shaped physically. And that's all that remains of it. I don't know how big it was, but it looks like a cigar now. Turn to Helaman, the second chapter. I think that's what I want to go to. No, I want to go to keep your... As we look at that, it's your choice and my choice to be resolved not to be alone in this world, nor the world to come, physically or spiritually. To look at the wherefore and to be resolved to follow Christ. To be resolved to follow Christ wherever we find ourselves. The children are seeking, and the young people, they're not just children, seeking an education, to be resolved to follow Christ even in the schools. And that's not hard. But they have to be resolved to that. As they seek spouses, they enter into marriage, they have to speak, or they should seek those that have like desire and like resolution to be resolved in that marriage to follow Christ. As they are blessed with children, to be resolved to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of God. That's not easy all the time. There are distractions. There are wherefores, but we have to be resolved. As we seek a profession, pick an occupation, work for our daily bread, we should choose to be resolved to Christ as we approach death. And who knows when that comes? didn't take long for that smoke to dissipate. Your life, my life, seems like a long time. As I approach the end of it, it seems far too short. But the children out there, they look at their life and it looks like forever. But it's not. But that's nothing to be sad about, because death is yet a door to a world to come, a life to come. But to attain to that door, to have Christ open it up, we have to be resolved. Jesus suffered, he bled, he died alone. He bore it all to save his own. But we have to choose to own Christ if Christ is to own you and I. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Well, there's a few announcements that I'd like to make first, and then we can close. The young people, it's the reminder that they're to stay and clean the church tonight. In the morning at 8 o'clock, there will be a prayer service before we start our business meeting at 9. This afternoon, started already, 5 o'clock, where they were going to have a pancake supper at the East Local and the Annex. Also, our brother Ron would ask me to read this. If you want a sermon on tape, please sign up on the sign-up sheet for how many copies that you'd like. Please sign up as soon as possible for what you want, so that they can go ahead and fill your request. If you have requests for tapes to be delivered out of town,